I have already come. Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
And Grace Will Lead Me Home by Epiphany X7. Read by Unavoided Crisis. Sam holds on as long as he can, because he doesn't want to leave Cass alone. The angel, and he is still an angel, despite everything, despite his betrayal, despite his conviction, despite his choice to carve out a place in the cosmic order for humans to stay and fight for their own existence. Castiel watches him with a sad smile. "It is okay," he says. "Thank you, Samuel, for these 30 years. Unlike Sam, Cass hasn't aged a day. Sam remembers that, remembers Cass in another body telling Jimmy, "You won't die or age. If this last year was painful for you, picture 100, 1,000 more like it." Never had Sam expected that Cass would have to spend those years alone. It doesn't seem fair, somehow, even as he looks up at the blank white ceiling. He thinks he needs to hold on, for a little while, a few more minutes or days or hours, just a little bit longer. And Sam Winchester dies, 30 years after his brother lost his life fighting for humanity. With his passing, Castiel was alone for the first time. He stands up, leaving the flowers on Samuel Winchester's grave. It's a hunter's grave, a small, unmarked cross, and nothing but charred bone beneath the mound of dirt, exactly as Sam would have wanted. Castiel stands, and he feels in him the weight of his existence bear down on his shoulders. Millennia without a thought of his own in 2 years. 2 fucking years, he mentally amends, and he destroyed it all. His family and his friendships, and now he is banished from heaven and despised by hell, welcome only on the earth he helped to save. Castiel turns from the grave and walks away. Not for the first time, he misses Dean. Castiel can do many things, but he does not know if he can bear the rest of his existence in solitude. The boy stands near the beaten, hollowed-out wreck of a classic vehicle. He talks on his cell phone, loudly, obnoxiously, as teenagers are wont to do. Castiel does not mean to approach him, but he is lonely, and the child is someone to talk to, even for a moment. But then the boy looks up, green eyes sparkling in wry amusement and something like recognition, and Castiel feels his heart catch in his throat. "Yeah," the teenager says, grinning brightly as he rolls his eyes at the person on the other end of the phone connection. "I got it." "Stop it, Mom." "Mom, I've got it." "Don't worry about it. We'll be by dinner, okay?" And he snaps the phone shut. "Hello," Castiel says, feeling dumb and awkward once more. He had thought, after 30 years on Earth, he had finally learned to act human, but this emotion is a new one for him. "Hey," Dean says, grinning at him. "Sorry I'm late, Cass. Took me a while to get suited up." And he waves his hands joyfully at his own youthful body. "Come on," he says. "Chicken casserole's cooking. Mom ain't gonna wait around for us, you know." The Impala had seen better days, but the engine starts with a deep rumble that is almost a purr. Castiel settles into the passenger seat, relaxing as he does so. He had not expected to see Dean ever again. "Come on," Dean says, twisting around to look at Cass for a moment before he puts his eyes back onto the road. "Cass, you didn't think I was just going to leave you alone, did you?" Dean is 48 years old when Sam arrives, a petulant runaway with a backpack that looks almost comically small on him. "Shut up," Sam says, spying Dean's amused expression. He nods at Cass, heading upstairs as if he knows they've got a bedroom set aside for him. "Bitch," Dean yells up the stairs. Jerk! Sam yells back down. Castiel stands in the living room and smiles. Dean dies at 67, not from pancreatic cancer, stage 2, but because he lost a fight to a werewolf. Sam cries for 2 hours. Patience, Sam, Castiel says, resting a hand on the back of Samuel's neck. Patience. He won't leave us for very long. Castiel walks the earth. Dean and Sam walk with him. Mostly, though, they drive the Impala.